So the book of Revelation, chapter 6, and we've just come out of chapter 5, the throne room where Jesus Christ is introduced as the Lamb. He's the Son Redeemer, and the question in chapter 5 is who can open the scroll? That's in chapter 5, 2. And we find out that the Lamb is the one worthy to open the scroll, and we find out that Jesus Christ is in fact our kinsman redeemer. He is like us. We found out that only Jesus is worthy to open this sealed scroll. And the seals on this scroll unleash 7 years of divine wrath, and that's what we're going to talk about today, the breaking of these seals. And what this means is that Satan is going to be evicted from this world. And the question in chapter 6 is who's able to stand this? Who is going to be able to stand this wrath that's going to be poured out through him? Now, Revelation 6, 1 through 8, we find four horses. And these horses are released by Jesus. And they're called out by the four living creatures. Four living creatures that were introduced in Revelation 4 and 5, they play an active role in this whole process. Revelation chapter 6, let's go there. 6, 1 and 2. Then I saw when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals. And I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a loud voice like thunder, "Come." I looked and behold a white horse, and he who sat upon it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. So the white horse is depicting victory, but victory without war. The next one, the red horse, 6, 3, and 4. And when he broke the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." And another horse, a red one, went out, and to him who sat upon it, he was granted to take peace from the earth, that men should slay one another, and a great sword was given to him. So first horse comes out, victory with a bow, but no arrows, just a bow. Second horse comes out and brings war, indicating that there evidently was a time of peace. Now there's going to be a time of war. So that's the red horse, is war. Now let's look at the next one, 6, 5, and 6, the black horse. And when he broke the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a black horse. And he who sat upon it had a pair of scales in his hands. And I heard, as it were, a voice in the center of the four living creatures. Who's in the center of the four living creatures? God himself on the throne. Saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius. And do not harm the oil on the wine." Denarius is a day's pay. You're going to pay a day's pay for a loaf of bread. And he says, do not harm the oil and the wine, those things that are not really necessary for life, more the luxuries of life. But if someone spends their whole day's wage to buy bread, what are they going to have to buy left to buy wine and oil? There's going to be a shortage of food, famine, and great hardship. Now the next one, 6, 7, and 8, the pale horse. And he broke the fourth seal, and I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come." And I looked, and behold, an ashen horse. And he who sat upon it had the name Death. And following him, like pulling a hearse or a cart, is Hades. And Hades is the grave. People who die, they go to the grave. Unbelievers who die, go to the grave. Believers who die, go to the grave. The place of the dead. And the authority was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword and with famine and with pestilence and by the wild beasts of the earth. So here's the end result of what the first three horses have brought. The first horse brings peace and victory. The second one brings war. The third one brings famine. And as a result of these things, you have the death, the pestilence. So fourth of the earth is going to die. Okay, the white horse. The white horse is victory. Who's the rider of the white horse? We hold here at this church, because we are a premillennial dispensational church, we hold that this rider is the future Antichrist, who is going to come to establish peace in Israel for the Jewish people in the future. Well, here we got the white horse, a victory with a bow. Just a bow. Arrows aren't out. The bow says, I have the power, but I'm not going to use the power. I'm going to have victory without using my power. The bow is also significant in the Old Testament because it represents a covenant. Where do you first see the bow? The bow in the heavens, when God says, this is my covenant between me and mankind. I will remember my covenant with man never to destroy the earth with water again. So from the very beginning, a bow is a symbol of a permanent covenant. Here, he's going to come out as if I'm going to make a covenant with this people and I'm going to uphold it. And the Jewish leaders are going to accept him. So this man on the white horse of victory in a bowl is really a personification and reflection back to that one is going to come to make a covenant with the many for 7 years. In Daniel 9:26, it's literally a man coming to make a covenant with Israel, personified by this rider on a white horse in Revelation 6. Now let's look at Revelation 11, because at the time that the Antichrist makes peace with the world on behalf of Israel, and what can the Jewish people do? They can have a temple and begin their temple sacrifice, which is the very sacrifice that he will stop after 3.5 years when he betrays this covenant that he's made. And it says he made a 7-year covenant, but he betrays that covenant. If he said, I'm going to make a covenant forever, he still would betray it. The angel says to John, rise and measure the temple of God and measure the altar and those who worship in it and leave out the court which is outside the temple and do not measure it, for it has been given to the nations. Part of this agreement is the nations are still going to have control in Jerusalem, but the temple is going to be secured. And that's what the Jewish people want. They want their temple mount back. They will tread under the holy city for 42 months. How long is that? 3.5 years. And I will grant authority to my 2 witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days. That's 42 months. That's 3.5 years. They are going to have control of this temple site for 3.5 years because this guy's made a peace treaty on behalf of the Jewish people. And now they can begin their sacrifice. They can begin their worship. Verse 4, these are the 2 olive trees and the 2 lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. If anyone desires to harm them, these 2 witnesses, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours their enemies. These guys have real power. They're like Moses and Elijah. In fact, many commentators say this is Moses and Elijah returning. Verse 6, these have the power to shut up the sky in order that rain may not fall during the days of their prophesying. And they have the power over the waters to turn them into blood and to smite the earth with every plague as often as they desire. So not only is God pouring out his wrath on earth from heaven, he's doing it through his 2 witnesses in Jerusalem. Verse 7, and when they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up out of the abyss will make war with them and overcome them and kill them. When is that? 3.5 years. Daniel 9 says, in the middle of the week, after 3.5 years. And verse 8, look at this. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is mystically called Sodom in Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. Those from the peoples and the tribes and tongues and nations will look at their dead bodies for 3.5 days and will not permit their dead bodies to be laid in a tomb. And those who dwell on the earth, the earth dwellers, those who are committed to the beast and to the Antichrist, they will rejoice over them and make merry, and they will send gifts to one another, just like Christmas. Because these 2 prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. And after 3.5 days, these are the 3.5 literal days, the breath of life from God came into them. They stood on their feet, and great fear fell upon those who were beholding them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying, come up here. And they went up into heaven on the cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And then there's a fantastically great earthquake that takes place. And 1/10 of the city fell, and 7,000 people died, and the rest were terrified. And they give glory to the God of heaven. Maybe some of them decided that this is really God acting. Maybe what these people said was true. So this is a protected temple for 3.5 years. The guy on the red horse comes, and this is war with the sword. Ezekiel 38 talks a lot of war between Gog and Magog. And we're just going to look at a couple verses here. Verse 8, after many days you will be summoned. In the latter years you will come into the land that is restored from the sword, whose inhabitants have been gathered from many nations to the mountains of Israel, which have been a continual waste. But its people were brought out from the nations, and they are what? Living securely. Why are they living securely? Because of the peace that's been brought about by this false Messiah. And you will go up and you will come like a storm. You will be like a cloud covering the land, you and all your troops and many peoples with you. And verse 10, it will come about in that day that the thoughts will come in your mind and you will devise an evil plan. You will say, I will go up against the land of unwalled villages. I will go against those who are at rest, who live securely, all of them living without walls, having no bars or gates to capture spoil, to seize plunder, to turn your hand against the waste places which are now inhabited, against the people, that's Israel, who are gathered from the nations, who have acquired cattle and goods and live at the center of the world. That's Jerusalem. The Gog-Magog War of Ezekiel 38. There are many who believe this is going to happen before the rapture of the church. I disagree. The guy on the red horse comes, and this is war with the sword. The black horse, this is control of the scales, controlling the economy that he's trying to use to his advantage. Point is, it's going to be a time of great famine. This control of the scales, this control of the economy, which again, this command comes from the throne of God. One denarius is going to buy a loaf of bread, $200 for a loaf of bread. The pale horse, this is filling the grave. This, the earth dwellers and the saints are killed during this time. It's not just the unbelievers, but it's also saints. Again, this is the land of Israel under the covenant of the Antichrist. We got our temple back. We got our land back. We're under a covenant of peace. Saints in white. The saints in white. This is the fifth seal. Verse 9. When he broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those earth dwellers? There was given to each of them a white robe, and they were told they should rest for a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even as they had been, should be completed also. You died at the hand of the earth dwellers. Many more of you are going to die. Just be patient. And the saints in white cry for vengeance. So who's going to be killing these saints? Not only death through these wars that come and these pestilences that come, both believers and unbelievers will die. The people of Israel are going to be persecuted by this false religious system that's going to exist in the tribulation. And we'll see that later as we come to Revelation 17. Next is the shaking of the heavens and the earth. This is the end of chapter 6. Verse 12. I looked and he broke the sixth seal and there was a great earthquake. And the sun becomes black as sackcloth, and the whole moon became like blood, and stars fell from the sky as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by the wind. And the sky was split apart. Now this sounds like more like Jesus Christ actually coming. So this may be a fast forward look to he's putting all this seal together with the very end. What it's going to be like when Jesus returns. Because this is what it's like. The sky split apart like a scroll. Every mountain and island are moved out of its place. The kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in caves. These are the future cavemen of the world. And among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne. That's God the Father. And from the wrath of the Lamb. This is the Lamb who had all the wrath of God poured out upon him at the cross. Is now going to pour out the wrath of God on the earth to those who have rejected him. For the great day of their wrath has come. And the question then is, who is able to stand? Now that question gets answered in chapter 7. And we're going to go there next week. Let's look at a chart here. I love charts, you know that. Very simple chart. By the time I get done, it's going to be very complicated. But I'm going to go through this very quickly. Notice the rapture of the church. There becomes a time of preparation. The Antichrist has to get himself together, has to get everybody together to make this covenant, this preparatory time. Then the covenant gets made, that's a time of protection. Then the covenant is broken, now the time of persecution against Israel. But when we look at this, we have these seals. In the first seal, the covenant is made. The second seal is the great war. And this is when two witnesses begin their testimony. And that seems to be the indication of these seals. They come very quickly. The third seal is famine as a result of the war. Death as a result of the war. The fifth seal, those who have been killed who are righteous now under the altar saying, God, will you avenge our blood? These are not church-age saints. These are not raptured saints. These are saints who have been killed in the tribulation. All right, sixth seal, earthquake, changes in the heavens. And then the seventh seal. That introduces the trumpet judgments and the bowl judges. And next week, the standing. Who is able to stand against the onslaught of the wrath of the Lamb and his Father on the throne? Who's going to be able to stand?